In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. So I need to tell you, my mouth gets me in trouble. Let me give you an example. For years now, my doctor has told me something very simple. Eat less, exercise more. For years, my doctor has told me that. And for years, my mouth has responded, oh yes, of course. And often, my tongue is able to even tell stories. Stories of the past, of times when I was good at eating less and exercising more, and then stories about why it hadn't happened for the past few months. But here's the catch. The scale doesn't care what my mouth says. And so really, my mouth just gets me into trouble. The same part of my body is involved in telling the doctor all those good stories as is involved in eating the food it shouldn't eat. Yes, of course, my mind and my body play a part in all of this, but really, my mouth gets me in trouble. I am not the only one for whom this is true. In fact, everyone in this room can probably tell stories of ways that your mouth or your tongue has gotten you into trouble. Times when you've said things you regret. Times when we've said things that aren't true. Times when we have hurt others through our words. The Epistle of James today makes it utterly clear. Our tongues are hard to tame. In fact, he goes so far as to say, only those who are perfect are able to tame their tongues. Anybody here able to do that? Just raise your hand. Okay, all right. But think about it, right? Out of our mouths can come promises and broken promises. Out of our mouths, praise, but also hatred. Out of our mouths, words of love, and also words that hurt. Out of our mouths can come songs and words that bless God and bless goodness, and out of the same mouth can come words that deny God, deny goodness, deny God's presence. James reminds us of something that all of us already know. This ought not to be so. Jesus puts it a different way elsewhere in the gospel. Jesus tells us, when he's talking about how we talk, that our yes ought to be yes and our no ought to be no. Simple, right? But we know it's not simple. We know how hard it can be for our words, for our mouth, for our tongue to be truly tamed. You want a case study? Just listen to the gospel this morning, right? In the gospel, Jesus is going on a road trip with his people. And as they're going along, they do what people do. They have a nice conversation on the way. Hey, what are you hearing about who people think I am? What are they tweeting? What are they putting on Instagram and Facebook? What are they texting about me? And the disciples start to reply to Jesus. They say, well, some of them say that you're John the Baptist back from the dead. Others say that you're the prophet Elijah. Others just say you're a prophet. There are all kinds of good things out there. You are trending right now, Jesus. Nice job. And then Jesus asks the real question, right? The question that they need to stop and think about. Okay, that's good. But who do you say that I am? And Peter, impulsive Peter, like he always does, he doesn't stop and think. He just jumps right into it with his mouth. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. Now, those are big words. Those words mean that Jesus is anointed by God. It means Jesus is the one that the people have been waiting for years upon years now. It means Jesus has a connection with God and is going to help set the Jewish people free. There are tons of expectations that come with being the Messiah, right? Jesus is selected by God, empowered by God. He is the person that you should listen to and you should follow. Peter's tongue gets him into serious trouble. Because right after saying that, Jesus starts to explain what Messiah really means. It doesn't mean he's going to be an exalted ruler living in an awesome palace with his disciples hanging out in glory with him. It means he's going to suffer. It means he's going to give up himself. It means he is going to serve humanity to the point of dying for us. That's not what Peter wanted. He had dreams. And so he takes Jesus aside, and the same mouth that just named Jesus the Messiah, the one that they've been waiting for, starts rebuking Jesus. Stop saying that. Stop. You're wrong. Peter's mouth gets him into some serious trouble. Now, what about you? What about me? I'm sure every one of us here can identify and think of ways that our mouth has gotten us into trouble. Words that have been said about others. Words that have hurt. That have deceived. Words that have been untrue to who we really are. Who we want to be. Words that have been untrue about other people. Words that have been untrue about who God is, about the hope that God can bring. I'm going to tell you what we already know. In the words of James, this ought not to be so. We all know that, right? This is not radical, groundbreaking information. But today we are reminded of that truth, that our mouth, that our words, they matter. They should match our actions. But rather than just leave it there, sitting about whatever words or things we've done in our past that shouldn't have been that way, I want to invite us to think about something else about our words today. I want us to think about the words that get said at this church week in and week out. Every Sunday before communion, I stand up in front of the altar and I say, Christ welcome all, we welcome you, right? Sunday in, Sunday out, we're reminded of those words. You look at the sign in front of the church, what does it say? Christ welcome all, we welcome you. When we debut the new website in, I don't know, a few minutes, right? What will it say right on the banner? Christ welcome all, we welcome you. Time and again, we say those words. In publication, in print, in our lives, we try to say those words. What does it mean for us today to hear James and to hear the story of Peter talking about our words reflecting reality? How is it that those words become true for us? How are we honest when we say, Christ welcome all, we welcome you? You know, I can think of a bunch of ways that we try to make those words true in this place. I can think of bulletins that have all the words in them and mean that we don't have to juggle 8 different hymnals. I can think of our attempt to create more signage. I can think about the welcome meal that happened last week so students and teachers and parents could come together, get to know each other, and feel a place of connection before the start of the church school year, which is today. I can think of lots of different places, and I hope you can think of places where you have experienced that welcome, that love of God. But now I want you to do something more. I want you to look at each other, just like I made you do that last week. I want you to do it again. Look at each other. No, not at the bulletins. Look at each other. And ask that question. How in my actions, how in my words, how in my deeds today can I help that person feel more welcome in the name of Jesus? And then I want us to ask another question. as we go forth into the world and we get ready to cut somebody off on Porter Road, ask that question: how can I make that person feel more welcome? And when you're at Stop and Shop and Big Y and the line's taking forever because somebody forgot that one item and they're just running back to get it off the shelf, ask yourself that question. Because we say, Christ welcome all, we welcome you. How will you honor and love that person in the name of Jesus? I invite you this week to take those words seriously, to let them dwell with you, to help them guide you. We're not given much time on this earth to gladden the hearts of those we are with. So today, be kind, seek peace, welcome others in the name of God. Amen.